Pour one out. I'm Brian Gephardt, along with Bo Johnson, on what used to be called the Fantasy Flex. We can no longer call it that, so that's probably the last time you'll ever hear us say that name. So we're not coming in hot. We are still happy because we're talking about fantasy football, but it was a long, long six-episode run that I'll never forget my entire life, Bo. It was truly, truly one of the special times in a boy's life.
It was memorable. And do you remember the entrance or the intro of the Incredible Hulk TV show?
I do.
Or maybe it's the end. Maybe it's both. How Bruce Banner just has his backpack or his satchel and he's walking down the lonely road by himself.
That's us. Just
except maybe not to hip-hop music, but it's 2018.
Just
kind of feel like Bruce Banner walking away from the city.
Two boys.
So our crack team of lawyers did actually get back with us. And Brian Gephardt is right. We cannot use the Fantasy Flex anymore. We do not know what we're going to call this podcast. We would like to ask you, our listeners, if you have any suggestions, you can hit us on Twitter. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, you can hit us up at 92.9 The Game. You can go ahead and tweet the station. We will be tweeting this out. We are currently just the 92.9 The Game Fantasy Football Podcast. You can also tweet at us directly. Bo is at Jedi Sports Radio, spelled just like it sounds. I am at Brian, spelled the right way. That's B-R-I-A-N underscore Gephardt, G-E-B-H-A-R-D-T. But let's hop into some actual fantasy football.
Fantasy football stuff, because we are still here. We just don't know what our name is.
Yeah, no one died or anything bad. No. I mean, we just wanted to come in a little bit somber and have a little bit of fun with it.
We may have over-dramatized that just a little bit, but I mean, it's been six episodes of this particular show that you're hearing, but we've actually recorded like 10 or 15, maybe 10, waiting on a name and just got so confused that we are.
So episode one of the podcast to be named, but enough later of the name stuff. We'll move on to some actual fantasy football talk. I'll just start off with just some quick news and notes before we talk about who to kind of target, who to try to sell right now. Eric Ebron, to me, the tight end position is so weak, and I think moving forward, especially while T.Y. Hilton is out, he's a top five tight end. And that's not something you could say about Eric Ebron in the past. He had 9 catches on Thursday night, 105 yards, 2 touchdowns. Granted, one of those was in garbage time. But
well, still count.
He's probably the most reliable passing option right now for Andrew Luck in Indy while T.Y. Hilton is out.
Now, I will give you that with a caveat. That's Eric Ebron has the potential to be a top five tight end every week until Jack Doyle is back. Because when the two of them are both on the field, Jack Doyle doubles Ebron in snaps. He doubles Ebron in targets. Ebron's gotten lucky and he's gotten the touchdowns, but I mean, you can't really chase touchdowns in fantasy football. You're going to get yourself in trouble that way. So Jack Doyle seems to be like the favorite for Andrew Luck and the Colts. I would just pay attention to that. When Jack Doyle comes back, I would kind of fade Ebron.
I get what you're saying with that. However, if T.Y. Hilton is out for a long period of time, I think you'll just see a lot of two tight end sets in Indy because the receiving core is so young. They've got a lot of unproven guys. Chester Rogers, someone we mentioned, he had a pretty decent game on Thursday night, someone that's very playable in a PPR league right now. But you don't really want any of the other options. But Andrew Luck's slinging the ball 50, 60 times a game, so there are catches to be had
with that crappy defense. They will have to continue slinging the ball also. So what I learned out of week 5 is that there's a few players that to me it's time to cut bait on or sell or see what you can get for them. If by chance you're one of the sorry saps that owned Isaiah Crowell or even Robbie Anderson, who just both went off this past week, get what you can for him right now. Use the stats from this week only for whatever potential trade partner you may have, because it's not going to be repeated. These are the two outlier games for these two players for this season. If I've got Isaiah Crowell for whatever reason on my team, it could be a deep team, even a 12-team league, you'll see him on a lot of teams. Or Robbie Anderson, who you might not have given up on Robbie Anderson yet with the emergence of Quincy Enunwa. I'm getting what I can for him. And something, you know, what I can, if I can get somebody that I would start in a flex on a bye week fill-in, that's kind of where I value Robbie Anderson and Isaiah Crowell going forward.
And especially Crowell, his value will never be higher than right at this moment as we're talking right now. And people need running backs. I mean, you look outside of Gurley and outside of Gordon, those are two studs. There's certain running backs that are playing well, but it's very thin up top as far as some of these elite running backs. And the numbers he's put up two of the last 3 weeks, people are going to look at that and go, ooh, I could use that, I could do that. So yeah, if you can get a wide receiver, back end of wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 type, someone like that, I'm right there with you with Robbie Anderson. I think he's still out there in a lot of leagues, but He caught three balls, two of them for touchdowns.
Yeah.
You know, the Broncos obviously weren't right. It was a short week for them. Monday night, they played Monday night, and then they were going West Coast, East Coast on the short week, which we all know is not a good option there. So, yeah, if you can get rid of those two guys.
But, you know, with the two catches or three catches, two for touchdowns, that's what people tend to look at. You know, those that don't listen to the soon-to-be-renamed fantasy football podcast on 929 or take advice from any other fantasy columnist or whatever, you know, it's touchdowns you don't want to chase. It's volume, because that's your better chance of scoring points. You know, the touchdowns come 6 points at a time, but the volume is where you're going to get your bread and butter, where you're going to sustain success in fantasy football.
Speaking of someone who's gotten volume, but someone you should probably look to sell, that's James Conner. He's coming off a big game against the Falcons, who we all know the Falcons defense. I mean, if you got any fantasy players matched up against the Falcons defense, rest away, you're going to be starting any of those guys. But the impending Bell return coming up in a couple weeks, you don't know how that's going to shake out. And Conner, I mean, the chances of him producing games like this, he's really only had two. He had one in week one. And if you look at it, if you can try to sell him to the Bell owner or to sell him to somebody else, and again, try to get like a wide receiver two type or maybe another running back that you think is going to be on the come up, Conner, his value won't be higher than it is right now.
Than it is right now after coming off a game where he had 21 rushes for 110 yards, two scores, four more receptions for 75 yards, totaled over 30 points. The Steelers are going to play next week, then they're going to be on a bye, and that's supposed to be when Le'Veon Bell comes back. So you're not going to be able to get rid of James Conner looking at a bye week. So you want to sell him now after a good game, but while the person you trade him to is still going to get some value for him, they're going to get at least 1 week of him doing well. They might anticipate, or they might think, that Le'Veon Bell is just going to take second fiddle to James Conner when he comes back. That's not going to be the case. If Le'Veon Bell comes back to the Pittsburgh Steelers, he's going to be the number one back. James Conner's workload is probably going to be cut by like 75%, I would guess.
Any other players that you are trying to get rid of right now?
Kenyon Drake, 24.5 points. 46 rush yards, 69 receiving yards, and a touchdown. Where in the hell did this come from after he rushed three times for 3 yards 2 weeks ago? If you've got somebody that would take Kenyon Drake on the hopes that he does this again or continues to perform at this level, by all means, you know, I think you're going to be better off than not having traded Kenyon Drake and he has one more good game and regretting that than starting Kenyon Drake over and over and over, week to week to week, and have him get you 7.6 points or something like that.
He's just someone you can't rely on.
Absolutely not.
Consistently, week to week, like Bo just said, you got to get rid of him now if you can. And again, running backs are thin. People want running backs that can score touchdowns, and he is definitely not going to do this every week. Moving on to some of the candidates that we would probably look to target, look to buy right now. I've got some interesting names down here, more so guys that are kind of on the upper end. Maybe you drafted them in the second, third, fourth round, yep, but they haven't been too hot so far. And I'm going to start off with a guy that I've been high on the whole year, but didn't do anything in this past game due to a concussion. That's Brandon Cooks, wide receiver, yep, for the Rams. You look at the Rams, I mean, Kupp's been the best receiver, I believe, statistically. He's also out with a concussion. We'll talk about who their fill-ins are coming up in just a couple minutes. But Robert Woods has been good. This Rams offense is obviously explosive. And you look at what Cooks has done so far. He's only caught one touchdown. He's had a couple pretty good games, but people might be a little worried, especially those that are maybe, you know, 1-4, 2-3 that need wins moving up. If they have Cooks, they're looking to try to trade somebody. You know, honestly, I would look at, if you can get like, if you can trade Isaiah Crowell for Cooks, not that you probably can do that, but those are the type of offers that I would be trying to send out right now. I think he's someone down the stretch that's going to win you some leagues.
If you can find somebody to trade you Brandon Cooks for Isaiah Crowell, I think you're probably going to win your league, because you're probably not playing with people who listen to the soon-to-be-renamed fantasy football podcast on 929thegame.com. But I think it's time to go out there and see if you can acquire Chris Carson. Last week would have been the ideal time, but he's got 2 weeks in a row where he had 24 touches 2 weeks ago, 19 touches this past week, finally eclipses the 100-yard mark, doesn't get into the end zone, but 19 rushes for 116 yards. You have to love that workload. Rashad Penny didn't even get into this game. All right, now Mike Davis is the, I don't even know if it's clear-cut handcuff to Chris Carson, but he is the number two guy. If Chris Carson were to get another injury, I don't know that it'd be Mike Davis. I don't know that it'd be Rashad Penny. I'd probably stay away from it, but it looks like they are starting to kind of go towards Chris Carson on the Seattle Seahawks backfield, and it kind of seems like the Seahawks are kind of creeping up out of that abysmal abyss that they were in as far as their offense goes. I'm not saying they're going to be division winners or anything like that, but they're putting up numbers now. Russell Wilson threw for 3 touchdowns on Sunday. If you're able to spread the ball down the field, depending on how healthy his receivers are, mainly Doug Baldwin, if you're able to spread the field out a little bit, that's going to open up things for Chris Carson. I think good things are sure to come for him.
I think the Seahawks are the type of team that are going to be in the wild card mix in the NFC.
They're
closer
to
the end of the season.
All the way to week 17.
And if they're smart, they do want to try to run the ball to keep their defense off the field because their defense is no good. But to me, I'm avoiding the Seahawks backfield moving forward. I know that they did it against the Rams at home. Carson's here. He's there. He's hurt. He's not. He's reliable. He's not. Mike Davis is in. He's out. And at some point, they're going to want to get Rashad Penny worked in, whether it's, you know, and if their season does go south for some reason, if they look up and they are, you know, 4-7 or something like that, you got to get your first round pick some run just to see what you have. And it's just something I think it's going to be like a lot of situations in the NFL, a running back by committee that I'm just trying to completely avoid at this point.
All right. So another running back that has been a fantasy stalwart for the last 10 years that has not really gotten a whole lot of run this season, but if I can trade somebody cheap for him, this is kind of where I would put the Isaiah Crowell trade, and that's LeSean McCoy. If I can get somebody to trade me LeSean McCoy for Isaiah Crowell coming off of a 2-touchdown game by Isaiah Crowell, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do it in a heartbeat. Shady had 24 rushes for 85 yards over the weekend. That's not something you're going to call home and tell mom about, but it looks like better things are in store for McCoy, who's getting the volume as long as he stays healthy. He's very involved in the pass game. Josh Allen coming into his own. Buffalo Bills putting up some points. I think Shady McCoy might be he could be a league winner if you can get him cheap. Somebody that gets you a couple of crucial games later on in the season, as the Bills are going to have to be playing all the way to the end of the season too.
He could also turn into a real league winner, a real division winner, because there's rumors that the Eagles are trying to trade back for him. As we all know, he started off his career there and was great. And if he winds up in Philly, especially with the news about Jay Ajayi tearing his ACL, we'll talk more about the Eagles backfield a little bit later on as far as who to pick up on waiver wires right now. But that's great. I mean, if you trade him from the Bills to the Eagles, he's still going to be the primary back there and could be really good down the stretch. And again, something that Bo especially brings up all the time, volume. You want guys that are going to get touches. He is the most important piece of that Bills offense. And I'm right there with you. I would definitely have McCoy over a Crowell, over a Drake. And you know, over those guys that we say
Robbie,
sell
you
high.
You probably get somebody to trade you Shady McCoy for Robbie Anderson coming off of a 3-touchdown game by Robbie Anderson. And it has been a slow start of the season to McCoy. And, you know, the 24 for 85, the most important part of that to me is the 24. 24 rush attempts is huge this day and age with so many RBBCs. No touchdowns, though. And in a non-PPR, he only got like 10 points. To me, that is a great sign with the 24 rushes, needing the volume to score.
A guy I got here is someone we just talked about a little bit ago when we brought up the Eric Ebron conversation, is T.Y. Hilton, because he is hurt. He hadn't had a lot of great games up to that point, but Andrew Luck is slinging the ball everywhere. Yeah. If you are one of those teams that's 3-2, 4-1, 5-0, kudos to you if you're that, and you have an ability to kind of stash him away for a couple weeks, I think T.Y. Hilton is someone, again, you can try to target a Kenyon Drake, an Isaiah Crowell. Go ahead and try to send for T.Y. Hilton. Not that this will happen, but that's just a conversation starter because Hilton hasn't been putting up those big numbers. But again, Luck is throwing the ball. This team cannot run the ball. Their defense is not very good, and they're going to be trying to put up, trying to play catch up a lot of times. They're going to put up a lot of garbage yardage down the stretch the rest of the season.
You got to love a deep ball receiver on a team with a quarterback that throws the ball deep that's always going to be playing from behind, and that's what T.Y. Hilton is. Now, it's a hamstring injury is what kept him out last week, and that's probably the scariest injury for any kind of skill position on a football field because it lingers. But if you can acquire T.Y. Hilton for an Isaiah Crowell and you get 4 good games out of T.Y. Hilton, you know, that could really, really help because you're not going to get 4 more good games out of Isaiah Crowell, at least not in my opinion.
Exactly.
So, one more player that I think is a great time to go out and trade for is Aaron Jones. We hyped up Aaron Jones last week, man, and he kind of went in, and he was taken out of the game script. The game script didn't really go the way the Packers, or we thought it was going to go either. We thought the Packers were going to be run heavy, get the lead, maintain the lead. Aaron was going to be good enough, but lo and behold, here comes this Detroit Lions offense, and they got out like 21-0, didn't they?
Yeah, 24-0 in that game.
24-0. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, of course, the Packers aren't going to be able to run the ball that effectively. Aaron Rodgers was trying to get them back in the game by throwing the ball. Devontae Adams completely goes off, goofed on that one, but I'll talk about that when we talk about what had happened was. But, yeah, man, if you can find somebody to go trade you Aaron Jones, better days are ahead for Aaron Jones. You have to believe that.
I'm right there with you. We'll talk more about Aaron Jones coming up in the Fire and Ice Picks. One other running back I want to give you is Jordan Howard. He's someone that you probably drafted in the second round, beginning of third round at the latest. I'm one of those people who's probably going to die on Jordan Howard Island there. And he's only really had one good game so far. Tyreek Cohen severely outscored him prior to their bye week. And Tyreek Cohen's someone that you should probably pick up in a PPR league if you need to. But Jordan Howard, this Bears team, as their defense continues to grow, figure each other out, and be that probably the premier defense in the NFL along with the Jags, really, Jordan Howard is someone they're going to try to want to continue to establish the run. And they've tried it up to this point, but I think it's going to get better and better throughout the season. And he's someone you should go ahead and target.
Yeah, I can agree with you there. I think Jordan Howard is the back to own in that Chicago Bears backfield. I can see maybe Tariq Cohen in a PPR league if you have to, but I definitely like Jordan Howard. And if somebody's willing to give him up, man, you're still looking at a top 10 back right there.
All right, what had happened was we had this name, the Fantasy Flex Podcast, for like 2 months, and
can
now
we say it.
We know. I don't know.
Can say it.
I don't know.
It exists.
Invoice
it's there.
Me.
It's on the internet.
Austin Seferian Jenkins, okay? I told you to pick him up and play him. It was a terrible idea. I didn't feel great about it at the time, but tight ends are such a dice roll. I didn't realize how hurt he was until later on in the week, so I didn't play him at all. I did pick him up in one league, and it was a league that I thought Gronkowski was not going to play, but he was a complete dud on Sunday and has since been put on the IR, so you don't have to worry about me throwing out Austin Seferian Jenkins anytime soon.
So what had happened was, yeah, man, the Detroit Lions came in and beat up on the Green Bay Packers, so my first dud fire call from last week is going to be Aaron Jones with 7.9 fantasy points. That's not very fire. He had 7 rushes for 40 yards. 2 receptions on 3 targets, so they do use him in the passing game. But trust me, better days are ahead for young Aaron Jones on this Green Bay Packers offense.
And I'll say, collectively as a whole, I think we were both kind of hit or miss on our fire and ice pings. We got a little cocky. We went out on a limb. You know, we were trying to go a little bit.
You got to take shots, though.
Yeah, we were trying to mix it up a little bit. It was the worst week so far, definitely for myself. A couple of my fire players that did not hit, I said Deion Lewis and Mike Williams. They were both pretty much duds. Williams didn't completely hurt you. He had 7.8 points in PPR leagues, but Deion Lewis, not good at all. And again, the Titans, we'll talk about them coming up in our Fire and Ice segment there as well.
So another pick that kind of, this is a ice pick that turned into fire, was Davante Adams. And why should I have even put Davante Adams on ice? Because he's going to be the highest scoring wide receiver in the league. Maybe number 2, because Mike Thomas is pretty good. But Davante Adams, 9 receptions for 140 yards and a touchdown. I will never do that again. Davante Adams, choose you on an ice pick on any week.
I had some ice plays as well, and something I just talked about, avoiding that Seahawks backfield, but they did have a good game. Chris Carson and Mike Davis, that is. Carson, 116 yards. Davis, 68 yards. And a touchdown, so I definitely whiffed on that one. But again, for me, I'm not particularly targeting. They're definitely guys you can play moving forward, especially Chris Carson, like Bo had mentioned, but just not people I'm particularly going out there for. Any more what had happened was from you over there, Bo?
Yeah, so what had happened was that the Jacksonville Jaguars did not upset the Chiefs and hand them their first loss at home. Now, Kareem Hunt, 22 rushes for 87 yards. Okay, that's a mediocre fantasy day, 16 points. He was an ice pick of mine last week. But I did say that you could run on the Jacksonville defense. So he totals up 87 yards. Kareem Hunt was held to 1 catch. All right, so if you look at the production that Kareem Hunt will usually have, 5 or 6 catches for 60-something yards, on top of 80, 90, 100 rushing yards, when he normally is going to be averaging, he's probably averaging 20 points a game or 18, 19, something like that. So he gets the 16 points with the 87 yards off the 22 rushes. Okay, I'll eat a little bit of crow on that one, probably only like the feet.
You know, going down the stretch, we joke about it all the time. Everybody jokes about it. They throw out their Andy Reid jokes. He's the head coach for the Kansas City Chiefs, for those of you who don't know. He will find a way to burn fantasy owners down the stretch.
Absolutely.
And I feel like it will be with Kareem Hunt, because he's going to be in spots where he should run the ball, games where he should run the ball more, and he's going to have Mahomes out there slinging it probably a little bit too often, even as awesome as he is. But let's get to some of the fun stuff, the told you so. Let's get back to being right. All right, I gave you Josh Gordon as a fire pick. Not sure how consistent he's going to be rest of season, but Gordon had 50 yards and a touchdown, so he paid off all basically on one jump ball play. But he's also that type of player. He is a flex play moving forward, though.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%, and he might just be on fire this week, too. We'll get to that in the next segment. So how about T.J. Yeldon? With Leonard Fournette out, and he was a hamstring as well, and you have no idea when he's going to be back, one, on the field, two, 100%, which that's not even probably possible this season. T.J. Yeldon is hands down the number one back with Leonard Fournette off the field. 10 rushes for 53 yards, 8 receptions for 69 yards and a touchdown. T.J. Yeldon just went off, scored over 20 points last week. Keep rolling T.J. Yeldon out there. You're not going to find too many defenses that are going to scare you as far as the run game goes. Maybe Baltimore, who I'm not even sure they play. Maybe the Rams, who I'm not even sure they play. T.J. Yeldon, man, told you so.
And that's something you bring up before we get into more told you so picks. We were looking before we came on about fire and ice picks, and it was kind of hard to pick ice picks this week, and It's gotten harder each week because there's not really a lot of good defenses in the NFL right now. We thought the Rams were, but they've been torched the last 2 weeks. We thought the Jags were. Granted, they went and played Kansas City at Kansas City. I still think they are one of the elite defenses, but you're talking, you know, Bears, a little Jags, but then there's no one else that you look at and go, oh, sit them. You know, sit them against these guys. And that's something that's great for fantasy owners because you don't have to worry about so many defenses. You don't have to worry about Minnesota and Philly. They haven't been those elite type of defenses. So you can go ahead and fire your star players or your flex play players against pretty much any defense in the league right now.
Yeah, and I think if I'm not mistaken, we are, or the NFL is, through week 6 or through week 5, they have set a record for most points scored in the league, and I think that record keeps on growing. So you go to look at the landscape of wide receivers from this past weekend, and there was 20 wide receivers that scored over 15 points. You know, so when we have an ice pick that scores 16 points, you might say, you got that one wrong. But when there's 10 receivers that scored over 25, You know, wouldn't you rather have those? I mean, quite obviously you would.
And one other note about the Jacksonville backfield, right before we hopped on here, Jamaal Charles was actually signed by the Jacksonville Jags, one of the best fantasy football players of all time. Corey Grant is on the IR, like Bo mentioned. Fournette banged up, hammy. We're not sure when we're going to see him back. So there's a very good chance that Charles is the number two running back for Jacksonville moving forward. And if something were to happen to Yeldon this week or next week, Jamaal Charles might be getting a decent amount of carries. I don't, you know, he's not someone you're going to pick up and start, but someone to keep an eye on in deeper leagues, 14 team, 16 team, if you're playing anything weird like that.
If you got a surprise, if you got a really super deep bench and you have a spot for somebody like Jamaal Charles, pick him up, and he's going to get some work, but he's not going to get a lot. I mean, we're talking 3 or 4 carries here, but you never know. It will be officially 2 years past his knee surgeries, his latest knee surgery. So, I mean, we'll see what happens there. So, I told you so, Chester Rogers. If you picked up Chester Rogers on Thursday night's Pats-Colts game, 8 receptions for 66 yards, doesn't find the end zone. That still gets you almost 15 points in a PPR. You're not going to, you know, have to be relying, hopefully, on Chester Rogers as a wide receiver 1 from week to week or last week. So you probably had him in a flex spot or a wide receiver 3. So 15 points out of a wide receiver 3, man. Hey, I'll take it. Told you so.
All right, told you so to sit Carlos Hyde and Nick Chubb. Hyde only had 68 rushing yards and Chubb only had 3. And this is something to monitor moving forward. We'll also talk about this a little bit more in the waiver wire type of a thing. Actually, this, we didn't get to Nick Chubb as far. He's a buy candidate for me, and this is the reason why. You can't, you know, choose exactly when someone is going to get hurt, but I don't trust Carlos Hyde to play 16 games. This Browns defense is good. This team is competitive. And if something were to happen to Carlos Hyde, Nick Chubb is going to be a plug-and-play RB2.
Yeah, I can agree with that. You know, statistics are what we base what we do off of for the most part. And I don't think Carlos Hyde's ever, you know, played 16 games in a season. So I would wager that he probably will not this time either. So one more I told you so. Adrian Peterson, as the Washington Redskins get absolutely throttled by the New Orleans Saints last night, throttled. Adrian Peterson leaves the game with 6.2 points in a game that you knew he was not going to be. Now, Chris Thompson had a better game. We actually mentioned that too. But those New Orleans Saints have like the 4th best rush defense in the NFL, despite what their secondary, who's improving, gives up on the back end. You cannot really run on the New Orleans Saints. I'm telling you, they are a great run defense. We will continue to ice players who go up against them. But no revenge game for Adrian Peterson this week.
Before we take a quick break here, Bo, how happy were you last night as a Saints fan, watching Breeze break the record, watching the Saints just cruise past the Redskins? I mean, what was your night like last night?
All right, so here's the thing. You know, I work at SunTrust Park, and we had the last Braves game of the season last night, unfortunately. 4:30 game. Runs all the way up to about 8:30. So I run out to my car after getting off work because people are hanging out and everybody's saying bye to each other. Hey, we're all fired now. Last game of the season. I listened to the record-breaking play on the car radio. Right here on 929 The Game, by the way. Get to where I'm going to watch the game and whatnot. And I don't get to see the 500 touchdown because that didn't happen. But it was great to see that score. And I saw a few Saints touchdowns and whatnot. It was great. It was great.
All right,
Saints, who dat?
We're going to take a quick break here on the Fantasy Football Podcast on 929 The Game. That doesn't have a name right now, and we'd love your input. Tweet us at 929 The Game. Welcome back to the 92.9 The Game Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Brian Gephardt along with Bo Johnson. This is our Fire and Ice segment, and we are typically on fire with this segment. Didn't have a great week last week, but 4 out of 5 is not bad there. Bo, who's your first fire play you got for the week?
All right, man, I'm coming out on fire right out the gate. We're going to fire up some Josh Gordon this week versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs have the worst pass defense in the NFL. Josh Gordon caught his first touchdown last week in triple coverage. All right, Tom Brady just chucked the ball up into the end zone. Josh Gordon went up and got it, fought it away from another defender. A very heroic and stoic-looking touchdown for Josh Gordon. I believe he's going to get loose this week. It might be a 3-catch, 85-yard, and a touchdown game, but that's still going to get you 20 points. And if he has a 5-catch, 125-yard touchdown or 125-yard, 2-touchdown game, then you're going to look like a genius for starting him. But this game has tasty matchup written all over it. Chiefs, Patriots, I would fire up anybody in this game.
I love the fact that this is a Sunday night football game where we all get a chance to sit down and watch it together. I mean, even if you're not a fan of either of these teams, even if you hate the Patriots or impartial to the Chiefs, this is going to be a lot of fun, a lot of fantasy players involved. This is kind of fire matchups for everybody. But yeah, Josh Gordon should have a good week. I'm going to start off with a guy who has been anything but trustworthy up to this point in the season. Someone he drafted in the second round. Someone we've talked about a good bit here on the Fantasy Football Podcast on 92.9 The Game. Dalvin Cook, as long as he plays this week, you know, because he's dealing with the hammy. He's been banged up. I don't think he's ever gotten to 100% since his injury last year. But the Vikings are at home against a terrible Cardinals team. And at some point, they have to get a run game going. And it's got to be with Dalvin Cook. As long as he is active and as long as he plays this week, go ahead and fire off Dalvin Cook with confidence.
Yeah, Latavius Murray's not the guy, and he will be relinquished to goal line work when Dalvin Cook is out there. You know, so I got another Josh for you. That's going to be Josh Reynolds. You might say, who the hell is Josh Reynolds? He's a wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams. Now, the Los Angeles Rams had 2 of their 3 pass catchers go into concussion protocol this past week. Now, we have not received word as of if either one of them are going to miss time. Cooper Kupp, Brandon Cooks. So, if you get into the weekend, or you might want to pick one or two of these guys that I'm going to mention up on the waiver wire, because you're more than likely going to see one of these guys affected if Cooks is out and one of these guys affected if Kupp is out. So if Brandon Cooks is ruled out in the concussion protocol, I like Josh Reynolds. He's a wide out for the Los Angeles Rams. If Cooper Kupp is out, I actually like tight end Gerald Everett a little bit better. As Kupp plays out of the slot, Gerald Everett's going to be playing out of the slot. I think they got a pretty tough matchup this week versus the Denver Broncos. But Chris Harris doesn't go into the slot, and he doesn't cover tight ends. He's going to be a mismatch probably on a linebacker or something like that, and it's not going to be Von Miller. So Josh Reynolds, if Cooks is out. Gerald Everett, if Kupp is out. Write that down.
And, yeah, obviously both of them out. Play them both. You know,
this Rams offense is still pretty good.
This is plug and play for them. I mean, not that Jance Reynolds is Brandon Cooks or Cooper Kupp or at that talent level, but this Rams offense is going to move the ball. Gurley's going to do his thing, as we've seen, but Reynolds is a great pickup, and it's great when you have that double whammy of someone that you can pick up and start with confidence right away. Love that call there from Bo. I've got speaking of a double kind of a thing, Cameron Brate and Jameis Winston. Good amount of people probably picked up Jameis Winston, but I still see him out there on waivers quite a bit. Cameron Brate there as well. He's the tight end for the Bucs. They are at Atlanta this week. No O.J. Howard, and we know this Falcons defense can't stop anybody. Jameis Winston is starting, and he loves throwing to tight ends. Fire up Brate with plenty of confidence as well as Winston this week.
Same game, different name, man. I'm going the other side of the ball. Don't forget about Mo Sanu now out there. He is the he is the air quotes wide receiver two in Atlanta. Mo Sanu has had a couple of good games in a row. He scored a touchdown this past week on like a 42-yard touchdown reception. You're probably not going to see high volume from Mo Sanu, but in a PPR league, that's all you need is like four or five receptions. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are leading the NFL by giving up 358 yards a game through the air. Ooh. 358, that's an average. All right, Saints put up well over that, and I think a couple other teams too have too. This game, I mean, this is going to be one of those goofy shootout games, all right? So, Bucs-Falcons, I think the Falcons probably come away with this victory here. Jameis Winston's probably going to throw like 350 yards on the Falcons secondary, but throw three picks too. It's going to be a game where the Bucs could have probably blown the Falcons out had Jameis not thrown like a bunch of interceptions or something like that. But yeah, don't forget about Mo Sanu on those Atlanta Falcons. Probably out there in your league. He's still not even owned in 50% of leagues, at least on ESPN.com.
This is one of those whoever has the ball last is going to win the football probably game kind of a games. The one thing I do want to bring up, something we didn't really talk about pre-show at all, but are you who are you playing, if anyone, from the Tampa backfield? Are you going to roll with Ronald Jones? Are you going to roll with Peyton Barber? Or are you just going to try to avoid that altogether?
I'm not going to cut those players that I do have. I do have Ronald Jones in a dynasty. You can't let go of him that early yet. I'm going to wait and see. I think it's going to end up being Ronald Jones before long. They've kind of given Peyton Barber the chance to take the reins on this backfield. He has not. He's had some glimmers. Peyton Barber is no stranger to the NFL. He's not an old player by any chance, but I mean, after 3 or 4 years, if you ain't got it, you ain't got it. Maybe it's a system. Maybe he goes somewhere else. I think Ronald Jones is the guy they want it to be, so it's going to end up being him. I'm just going to wait and see first.
And I'm going to say, before I give out my last fire pick, I'm going to say that if Ronald Jones comes out, because I think he is the guy to play in this game, he comes out, has a big game, don't overreact. And if you have him, if you own him, sell him. Go ahead and trade him right then. A lot like James Conner coming off the game with the Falcons, a little bit different type of a situation, but I could see Jones rolling out there, getting 80 to 100 yards and a touchdown, and everyone goes, oh, here's Ronald Jones. Yeah. But it's really more about this Falcons defense losing both safeties, their linebacker, obviously well documented here at 92.9 The Game. Last fire play, again, someone who we talk about all too often here on the 92.9 The Game Fantasy Football Podcast, that's Aaron Jones. I got him at home Monday night against the 49ers. Run the football, Packers, and you shouldn't be down 24-0 at home to this team.
Not this
team. So go ahead and feed Aaron Jones early and often, as they should. I see him with 70 to 80 plus yards and a touchdown in this game.
So go ahead and roll out that CJ Beathard coming out game now that we've mentioned
Exactly. Any other fire plays?
I have no more fire plays. Let's go. Let's roll with some ice. All right. Now, this player I've mentioned as being on fire for the last several weeks, and I'm still hot on this player. I just don't think he's going to have the best game of the season this week. And that's going to be Baltimore Ravens wide receiver John Brown. Tennessee Titans are only giving up a little over 200 yards a game. They have a great pass defense. The Tennessee Titans do. When Joe Flacco goes up against great pass defenses, that worries me. All right, I'm not one of those people that are that's going to sit here and say Joe Flacco is an elite quarterback because he has a freaking ring. All right, I'm worried about any pass catcher on a Joe Flacco, just like you are with an Andy Dalton offense. You know, they put up numbers on paper, but it's not something I want to sit there and watch. You know. So this looks to me like a two or three reception, maybe a touchdown, 25-yard game for John Brown. Tennessee Titans pretty good at not giving up yards through the air.
I'm going to stick with the same game. I think this game's going to be really low scoring. The Titans backfield duo of Deion Lewis and Derrick Henry, you're probably not starting them anyways, but if you were thinking about it, don't do it. This is one of those, you never want to see anybody get hurt or anything like that, but at some point you just kind of want this team to have one running back because they both kind of, you know, they have these games where they throw up 40 yards, 50 yards each, 60 yards, and like collectively they'll put up together like 160, and you're like, well, if you just had one of them,
you
would be useful in fantasy football. So I'm going to go with the Titans backfield duo, Deion Lewis, Derrick Henry, sit both of those guys this week.
So this week on ice, I'm going to have to put Mr. Amari Cooper, who's going up against the Seattle Seahawks. Surprisingly good pass defense. They are. Look it up. They're like number 6 or 7 in the NFL, depending on what stat category you choose to differentiate from. Look, Cooper is the epitome of inconsistency. And if I'm not mistaken, I might have a league where I have to start him because I think I have Mike Thomas and another receiver on a bye this week. If that's the situation that you're in, you might not have anything better on the waiver wire than Amari Cooper. But if I have another option like Josh Gordon, I will start Josh Gordon over Amari Cooper this week if I have one spot to fill and both those guys on my bench.
I hate Amari Cooper. I really do. He's so upsetting. I've played him every week that he's been bad and the weeks that he's good. And I was in one of those situations, like you just mentioned this past week. I didn't really have anybody better to play over him, and I knew he wasn't going to have a good game. He only put up 2 points in a PPR league. If he goes up against any sort of decent cornerback or decent defense, he's not good. He's just not.
No.
And he has the talent and the ability if he plays against, you know, a different type of a team. And, of course, he's one of those guys that can, you know, take, you know blow the coverage out, go deep, and can score, you know, big on one play. But he's someone I'm going to try to avoid moving forward. If he has another big week this week, next week, whenever it might be, I'm going to try to sell him right after that. Hopefully that's the case. Real quick, when we're talking about these type of guys, so Amari Cooper versus Jance Reynolds, if Kupp and Cooks don't play, are you going to go with Reynolds?
I probably would, yeah, just because I like the consistency of the way these Rams... Did I call this guy Josh Reynolds earlier? Was that like...
Jance Reynolds,
Jance,
Josh.
Josh Gordon,
it's
Josh Reynolds.
J.
I just
Reynolds.
I just repeated the Josh. So anyways, y'all know who I'm talking about, though. The Reynolds receiver. Ryan Reynolds.
All right.
I would go Reynolds in this game if Cooks does sit... I like the consistency of the Rams offense. The Rams have put up mega numbers this season. I don't see that as being a situation that's going to go away just because Brandon Cooks might be hurt. Now, Brandon Cooks is the better receiver than Reynolds is, but I like the chance. I like rolling the dice on the volume that that Reynolds could get with Cooks out of there.
All right, next up for me is anyone on the Dolphins. Like I said, there's only one or two defenses that scare me. One of them is the Bears. And the Bears are coming off a bye, going down to Miami. Miami has been exposed. They started off 3-0. They're now 3-2. We always kind of knew they weren't that good. And I wouldn't play anybody on this Miami offense as long as I can avoid it with byes and injuries and all that type of stuff. Go ahead and avoid playing any sort of Miami Dolphins player.
And if you're that guy that has Miami Dolphins on your team from the get-go, maybe you should listen to the Fantasy Football Podcast that will be named later on 99thegame.com more often.
Or trade Drake. Do that too. Any other ice plays for you?
Yeah, man. I'm icing Carlos Hyde this week, man. I like what he's done this year with the five touchdowns and whatnot. He still hadn't had a game where he rushed over 100 yards out of five games. There's probably a better option for you out there. The Los Angeles Chargers are only giving up a little over 90 yards a game on the ground, which is pretty decent, you know, considering that there are teams out there that are only giving up 80. But if it's a Carlos Hyde versus, I don't know, somebody else that I'm having to flip a coin or roll a dice on, it's probably Carlos Hyde in the bad matchup that I'm probably staying away from this week.
I'm going to stick with the running back from my last ice pick of the week, and that's LeSean McCoy, someone we talked about earlier. He is at the Texans. Shady had over 100 yards this past week against the Titans, but I would sit him in Houston. I just don't expect him to have a big game, and I think that's going to be one of those another low-scoring, kind of crappy type of fantasy games on both sides.
So how about some waiver pickups here? Got any waiver pickups outside of the, I think, the Tampa guys? We got the Rams guys. Who are some waiver pickups you're going for this week?
Well, Ryan, the obvious ones that you take a look at is with the Jay Ajayi torn ACL. And for those who haven't heard, starting running back for the Philadelphia Eagles, Jay Ajayi has torn his ACL. You got Wendell Smallwood and Corey Clement. These are guys that both need to be owned and both could probably be played this week in a short week, Thursday night against the Giants. But Smallwood would be my option in PPR. I'd probably prefer him. Clement, I would probably give a slight edge to in standard. But in general, I would put Smallwood as the priority between the two.
Really? So I kind of like Corey Clement as the first and second down back in that offense with Noah Ajayi. We'll see. I'm in a situation where I'm going to have to choose between Chris Carson and Corey Clement this week, and I'm probably going to roll Chris Carson just because of the volume that I know that Chris Carson is going to get. Of course, do you really know anything with Pete Carroll? You really don't know anything with Philadelphia Eagles running backs either. It's kind of a similar situation there. But Corey Clement and Wendell Smallwood, I really like that one as well.
And the interesting thing in Philly is that offensive line that we raved about last year, they came in kind of as the number one ranked on Pro Football Focus and all of that. They've looked really not good at all. And Jason Peters looks like he's aging. It's just not that dominant unit. So if you do have a better option, like you mentioned, a Chris Carson, someone of that ilk, go ahead and play them. But if you're in a spot where you got byes, injuries, or you were the Jay Ajayi owner, go ahead and fire off Smallwood or Clement.
So we already know about the garbage tight end landscape that is the NFL this year. And then there were teams that probably drafted Jack Doyle and you know, Delanie Walker for the Titans. So the Baltimore Ravens drafted a tight end in the first round, Hayden Hurst, this past year, who has only gotten into one game, and that was this past week. He only had one reception. It was his first game in the NFL. He is a rookie. Baltimore Ravens, a team that likes to throw to the tight end with a quarterback that also likes to throw the tight end because he's not very mobile, but at least he has the gumption to get rid of the ball. All right. Hayden Hurst, put him on your radar, even if you have to stash him. But, I mean, I could feel safe enough with as crappy as the tight end landscape is right now, starting Hayden Hurst next week, depending on who the matchup is. I'm not sure who the Baltimore Ravens have. But Hayden Hurst is a guy that's out there in a tremendous amount of leagues, and I think he will touch some catchdowns before the end of the season's over.
Ravens got the Titans this week, and it could be that kind of small, low-scoring game, which tight ends seem to thrive in. I love the Hayden Hurst call. Keep in mind, while he is a rookie, he's one of those guys who's like 47 years old. Not serious, but he's 26, 27, 28, because he played professional baseball before he was on the South Carolina Gamecocks and then drafted by the Baltimore Ravens. So this is a grown man at tight end. This isn't, you know, a 22-year-old who can't block and things of that. So he will be getting a lot of snaps moving forward. My last waiver wire pickup of the week that I have here is Deontay Foreman, running back for the Texans. He's eligible to come off the PUP list next week. And granted, they play Jacksonville, so he's not someone you're going to start over the next few weeks. But down the stretch, the Texans have some very fantasy-friendly matchups. You've heard me on here. I'm not a Lamar Miller fan. Alfred Blue's been there forever. It's probably going to be a running back by committee, but I think Foreman will have the first crack at getting touchdowns on this team, and he's probably the Texans running back I'm going to want to own down the stretch.
Keep an eye on that Texans backfield. It looks like it's about to get really murky and or muddled. Now, Alfred Blue did rush for 46 yards off of 20 carries. He also threw in 8 receptions for 73 yards, and that's with Lamar Miller active this past week. All right, so Alfred Blue did shoulder most of the workload with Lamar Miller active and on the field. Now, he was still probably banged up. You know, keep an eye on it. One guy might emerge. You know, I'm not saying I'd go spend all my fab on Alfred Blue, go Tigers, because he has been there for a while and he has gotten the opportunity. He's never really done a whole lot with it. Might be a poor man's Giovanni Bernard. Whenever Lamar Miller has gone out or whoever was in front of him, he's had some good games, just not on a consistent basis. And one more waiver wire pickup that I have to throw out there, simply because the guy's not 100% owned. This guy should be 100% owned, and that's Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver Tyler Boyd, who on ESPN.com is only owned in 78% of leagues.
Wow.
To me, that is just nuts. Tyler Boyd has scored over 20 fantasy points in the three out of the five games that he's played this year. The other two games, he scored just under 10 in a PPR. Okay, that's going to happen to a wide receiver. He is the clear-cut number two wide receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals. The Red Rider is throwing the ball all over the place this season so far. A.J. Green has some help on the outside. His name's Tyler Boyd. It's not John Ross. All right, so Tyler Boyd, go pick him up. Start him in your league because he catches footballs.
Completely agree with you, and the Bengals have a very nice fantasy football schedule coming up over the next month, so he's someone you can fire off with confidence. I made a pretty interesting trade a few weeks ago in a league where I had an abundance of wide receivers, and I traded Tyler Boyd for Dalvin Cook, so that's going to be interesting to see.
That could work out well for both.
It was one of those I feel like it was for both. So that's going to wrap it up for this week on the unnamed fantasy football podcast on 92.9thegame.com. And we want your input on Twitter. We're going to tweet this out through the station account. Tweet at 92.9thegame. That's the station's account. You can tweet Bo at Jedi Sports Radio, spelled just like it sounds, and you can tweet me at Brian, spelled the correct way, B-R-I-A-N underscore Gephardt, G-E-B-H-A-R-D-T. That's going to wrap it up for this week. Talk to you next week.
Cheers.